This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Business.
Power Business with Kaya Sitole
on Power 98.7.
Welcome back to Power Business. It is the Tuesday evening edition here on the 6th of July, 2021. We are living through level 4 lockdowns, and as we've learned the hard way, level 4 lockdowns comes with particular sacrifices. Last year, there was this huge sacrifice that people who smoke had to make because government decided that one way to curb the rate of infections was to ban tobacco. We still haven't seen the evidence that actually explains how that decision was reached. Nevertheless, here we are again living under level 4 lockdown conditions, and as it turns out, even though the government hasn't banned tobacco sales during this particular lockdown, it appears that the market that was created during that period when they had banned it has not died, and that is the market of illegal tobacco trades. It's taking me back to bootlegging effects of our early 1920s America. Martin van Staden from the Free Market Foundation joins us now. He's on the Executive Committee for the Rule of Law and Board Advisor of the Free Market Foundation. Martin, last year, I could understand what your basis of your argument is to say, wait, it looks like even though government has said you cannot buy and trade in tobacco, people are still smoking. How is this happening now?
Yeah, that it's always what happens when government takes away something that people would desire. They'll always find another way to get it, and that's why it's always better to make sure that they can access what they desire in a safe and transparent legal market. Now, this black market that was created during the lockdown largely, we saw some African diplomats being expelled from South Africa for the role they played in the creation of that market. But that market still persists today because it is cheaper to obtain cigarettes and tobacco products in the untaxed and moreover unregulated black market. So a rational consumer is always going to gravitate towards where they can access something at a lower price. And I think the government needs to look long and hard at the situation that it created through prohibition and through its sin taxes, and maybe consider allowing the legal market to take back some territory.
So the fact that we saw the illegal market thriving last year meant that it probably became easy for anyone to track the size and the scale of that market. Do you have any idea of just how big and how pervasive this illegal trade in tobacco is?
Unfortunately, I don't have any numbers for you, but I can only imagine that it has grown substantially. Of course, since tobacco hasn't been banned during this particular lockdown, I'm sure that the illicit market has shrunk quite a bit. But that doesn't change the fact that whenever you have a prohibition or a destruction of accessibility, that a black market will always grow. And I think around the world, we see that in almost every instance of prohibition, even in the most tightly regulated societies.
So now that we have seen what happened last year and government has said, well, we're going to do level 4 lockdown, but we're not going to ban tobacco sales now. I mean, how do we then find a way of dealing decisively with the prevalence and the persistence of illegal tobacco trade?
So I think the first order of business is to stop making it more difficult for smokers to access their products. And let me say that I am a teetotaler. I've never smoked tobacco in my life, nor have I drunk a lick of alcohol. So you don't have to convince me that it's harmful and that people shouldn't smoke or shouldn't drink. But the fact of the matter is that if we want to destroy the black market, simply saying we should enforce the law harder, it doesn't really go to the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is affordability and accessibility. A smoker is a smoker. I'm sorry, that's just how it is, and they're going to smoke. And we should do our best to make sure that they smoke in the safe and transparent legal environment. And the government's first order of business should be to, abandon its plans to increase the excise tax or the sin tax on alcohol and tobacco this year, and maybe even lower it from where it currently is, so that there aren't any artificial obstacles to people accessing the products that they desire. And I mean, this doesn't just apply to these two specific products, but it's really a principle that an economic principle that applies across the board.
Martin, you know, manufacturing a cigarette or a joint is not an easy exercise. I can't do it from my home. At least I haven't learned how to. So surely there must be some understanding of what it takes to sort of have the resources and all the infrastructure necessary to do this. Is government unable to track people who suddenly buy the equipment that you may need in order to convert, I don't know, raw tobacco onto processed cigarettes? I mean, surely there must be some intelligence on the ground that says this seems to be the source, so therefore let us go and attack those. Or is it simply people importing it already as finished products that just doesn't go through the traditional channels?
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure how they do it. I mean, I know it's with alcohol, for instance, it's quite something that people do in their garages, brew their own home-brewed beer. And I mean, we saw that during lockdown as well last year, where some people died from drinking home-brewed beer. And I mean, the same principle applies with tobacco. Now, I'm not sure how a cigarette is made, but I've heard that, yes, these things get imported over the borders, and it's quite easy to avert South African customs when you come into South Africa. It's not necessarily the most difficult thing, given the poor state of our borders. As I said, enforcement, unfortunately, does not go to the root of the problem. And I mean, enforcement is simply far more expensive than going to the root of the problem. And government acknowledging that it shouldn't play a paternalistic role in the lives of consumers. Consumers should be able to make decisions for themselves, even if fundamentally those decisions are not objectively good for them. I mean, we do live in a free society where making bad choices is part of the lessons of life.
Whilst smoking tobacco is definitely harmful to one's health, we know that, my suspicion is that when it's manufactured illegally and doesn't go through the channels of at least eliminating all the additional toxins, whatever it is, there's an even greater danger there, where people may then actually start contracting additional diseases that are not within the understood scope of what the risks of tobacco are.
Yes, exactly. That's the case with every black market, whether it's narcotics, alcohol, or tobacco. If you're in the black market, there is no government. The closest thing you have to a government there are criminal syndicates. And there is definitely no information that you're entitled to as a matter of law about what is in the product that you're consuming. So it's a very unsafe space to be in the black market. It's a space where underaged individuals can easily get into and also access these products. It's a space where murders take place due to competition, everything that doesn't really happen in a legal market. And yes, as I mentioned earlier, with the lockdown and alcohol and beer, people have died due to them not knowing or being able to trust what is inside the product that they consume. And that is simply the only reason for that, is that it was not part of the legal market, but part of the black market. And that only exclusively comes about when government erects artificial market obstacles to people accessing these products.
What are the international reference points? Do we know whether illegal tobacco is just a uniquely South African problem, or are there other countries that also say we have a particular problem?
So I cannot name any specific ones, but I do know that the European Union, a study of European Union countries about a month ago by the Institute of Economic Affairs in London, revealed the levels of consumer freedom in Europe. And countries like Germany and Norway and so on rank quite highly in allowing people to access these products. And then other countries rank lower, and it stands to reason. I mean, it's certainly not a South African phenomenon, but an economic principle. And we saw this, as you mentioned in the opening, in the United States in the 1920s with alcohol prohibition. Anywhere where there is prohibition and where there's a market demand for something, be it cigarettes, alcohol, or drugs, you will have a black market and you will have illicit cigarettes. But now we've seen in some jurisdictions where drugs are being decriminalized and so on, that the black market is also reducing in size.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, when we then do look at international benchmarks, I suppose there isn't a country that says that we've closed down the normal channels and we've been able to simultaneously control the black market. I mean, just being able to understand that this has unintended consequences, how is our government going to get to a point of understanding that?
Yeah, so I mean, it's simply true that if you look at North Korea, for instance, one of the last communist states in the world that tightly controls its economy, there is still a thriving black market in a society like that. We saw that in East Germany. We saw it in the Soviet Union. It's just always going to be there. And for government to, we need government to be honest about its own limitations. I know government politicians want to say, oh, we're going to do something about the scourge of tobacco and alcohol in our communities, which people feel very passionately about, rightly so. But when the unintended consequences of good intentions are worse outcomes for society, we do need to take a step back and approach these issues in a more clinical sense and say, listen, is this going to work? And if the answer is no, then we really shouldn't try. So we do need a level of policy and evidence-based honesty from government rather than simply populist politicking before we can reach that point.
I think the most explicit example of just how difficult this conversation between people and their vices is the fact that even when government increases taxes, people do not stop smoking overnight. And I think for them, putting all these additional hurdles, unfortunately, doesn't give their desired outcomes. What are the desired outcomes by the government in the first place?
Yeah, so I mean, our government is a member of the World Health Organization, and a big objective of the WHO and the treaties and directives that it assigns is really ultimately to eliminate smoking. And I mean, it's a noble goal. Government is currently considering the control of tobacco and electronic delivery systems bill. It's a very radical intervention in smoking habits with the ultimate aim of reducing smoking to a large extent and eventually stomping it out. But that's not how society works, unfortunately. People, smokers want to smoke. I will never understand that. I hate it. But this is simply a market demand. And if you want to get people away from that, you're going to have to look at alternative means, social pressure, education, maybe even alternatives like vaping and so on, which have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt of being far less harmful than tobacco and so forth. So all these alternatives are available to government, but the hammer approach, the sledgehammer approach, is simply not going to yield the desired effects.
It's a learning lesson for governments, not only locally, but also across the globe. Thank you very much there to Martin van Staden from the Free Market Foundation, giving us an insight into the unintended consequences of lockdowns on tobacco sales, which are still manifesting. Even though we're not prohibiting tobacco sales, the black market seems to be thriving. It's time for Power News with Thomas White.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.